Guys, this is Alicia
and Katie,
and this is episode 28.
You didn't sound so good.
Well, I wanted to say 27, but I was pretty sure it was 28, so I was looking at my screen here, and I was right, it is 28.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 28. When I hit record, I saw 27, so I was pretty sure today was 28.
Sweet. My story this week isn't... I feel like a lot of mine are just gory half the time. I don't know if gory is the right word.
Graphic.
Yeah, graphic. Just fucked up. And this one's pretty fucked up. Excuse my language.
Oh, but. Lovely. Well, before you get into your fucked up story, I'm going to brag on my husband for a hot minute. Because yesterday was our 5th anniversary, which I forgot about. We were going to record yesterday, and I messaged Alicia, and I was like, hey, so I'm a bad wife. I completely forgot it was my anniversary today. And my husband told me to be ready at 4:15. So I didn't even tell you what he ended up doing.
No, but I saw pictures on Facebook. So, and I was like, my heart tingled. I was so happy. I don't even know the whole story yet, but I saw that and I was like, he did good. He did real good.
He did. So he told me to be ready at 4:15 yesterday, and I picked up the a little bit early. We got home at like 4:05, 4:10, something like that. I got the kids inside and everything, and I was starting to like put Lainey's bottles in the sink and stuff and get her out. And then I saw an orange shirt walk up to my front door and knock on the door, and I was like, what the hell? I didn't order anything. This is weird. And then the orange shirt walked away, like, as I was walking up. So I opened the door to see, like, okay, maybe they left a package and just walked away or whatever. It was my dad, and my mom was walking up. They were coming to babysit the kids for us. I thought we were taking the kids with us wherever we were going. Like, that was just my assumption. So they come in. I'm like, well, my house is a freaking wreck. Like, I normally don't let anybody in my house, including my parents, if I hadn't cleaned up at least a little bit. So Mike was in the shower when they got here, and he got ready real quick, and we left. And there's a place in St. Augustine that I've been wanting to go for like 2 years, but every time we've tried to go, we go on like a busy Saturday night and they don't take reservations. It's called the Prohibition Kitchen. Oh, and they have like specialty cocktails and just like really good food. It's like this, not old timey, but it's like, you know, the what is it called when decorations are made out of like tools and stuff like that, like that kind of aesthetic.
I don't know what it's called, but I follow.
Okay, well, the whole place is kind of themed like that.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
And then they have like the really old cash registers that you see in like old pharmacies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we went there. He ordered champagne. And so we had champagne with dinner. And big spender. But then I got a short rib grilled cheese.
YOLO, baby. YOLO.
YOLO. It was delicious. I was only able to eat half of it. And then I had the other half for lunch today. It was great. And then after we did that, he brought us back to town and he took me to the place where we got married and we took pictures there.
And it was beautiful.
I was sitting there holding my hands with my hair because the wind was just like, whoosh, 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 whoosh. So it looks awkward. I have one hand up in my hair trying to hold it out of my face.
That explains that.
Yeah. Because my hair is so short, even if I would have put it in a ponytail, some of it would have just flown out in my face anyway. So I had to hold it back. And then he always jokes that my favorite place on Friday is the bank because we have to go deposit his checks on Fridays. Like every place we went to, he was like giving me hints and I was trying to guess them along the way. And then we came home and we went to bed by like 10 o'clock and it was great. So it was fun. My kids had power, or had power. I just read a text message that said power. My kids had a lot of fun with the grandparents And they had like a
Were
movie night
they
and ordered pizza. And
in bed when you got home?
the kids,
Yeah.
one of them was.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Lakin wasn't. He was about to go to bed when we pulled in. We pulled in at like just before 9. He normally goes to bed at like 8:30, so it wasn't bad.
No, not at all.
It was
That
fun.
sounds like a lot of fun. And I'm glad that he planned something on his own for your 5th anniversary. Because even though you guys
Right.
have been together forever, like a 5-year marriage, like that's a big deal.
Yeah, considering I normally plan everything.
Yeah, when you texted or when you Snapchatted me and you were like, "I'm an awful wife, I forgot." I'm like, "Bitch, shut up." No, you're not. You remember literally everything for everyone. So like I was extra happy, extra proud. So shout out Mike. Good job. Proud of you.
Kudos to the hubby.
Yes,
But
but can you do that more often year round? I would appreciate that.
would appreciate that for me.
Oh yeah. I love hearing you brag about him. I love hearing all my girlfriends brag about their husbands.
Also, I have to apologize to you guys. I'm so stuffed up right now. It's not even funny.
Were
So.
you super miserable when you went to the place where you guys got married?
Why did I look miserable?
No, but I just know that yesterday in the morning you were telling me that you weren't feeling the best and that you just felt real stuffy and the day before too, so I don't know how it was being outside and
It wasn't too bad, but like the later at night it gets, or like first thing in the morning, it's really bad. And it's, I don't know, my family is passing this thing back and forth. I had it first, and the kids had it. And then Mike had it, and then now I have it again, but the kids don't have it. I would rather I have it and the kids don't have it in any case, but
Yeah, for sure.
we're just passing it back and forth, and I'm just about to be like, okay, I'm gonna go somewhere else. So I don't
Yeah,
pass it again.
when we first moved back and all of us were sick like every other week, I was super annoyed, especially after we had COVID. But like every 2 weeks since I had COVID, like I lose my voice and like my throat is scratchy, but I feel fine. But it hasn't happened now since my new job. Like I have felt completely fine. Like no, my allergies act up here and there, but it's usually like when it's about to rain or it gets like
Yeah.
really windy and it's super dusty. And we live out in the country now, so like pollen is just like inevitable at this point for me.
Did your old job, did they have good air filtration, or was it like, must, yeah, that's why, I bet you
I
anything.
mean, my office had a heater that was like built in with the system, but it was like a separate space heater in my office. But when you first turned it on, you had to like leave the room because it smelled like burnt for like the first 5, 10 minutes. But and then throughout the day, that smell would go away. So I either had like a constant migraine or I was like just it smelled wonky. So if that gives you any
That's,
general idea.
I bet that's probably why you've been sick more
Yeah.
often than not.
But I mean, everyone did a really good job of like staying away from like, space wise. I don't know, but my kid also goes to like daycare and he's a baby, so he puts his mouth on everything. So I'm sure that that didn't help, but
Yeah.
it's always frustrating with the baby though because they can be teething and they get a fever and coughs and
Literally
runny
anything
nose.
they get a fever from.
So I'm thankful that they don't send him home for any little thing, but when he gets runny nose, I'm like, "Here we go again."
Yes, I feel like every parent does. Like, I understand, but also, like, babies get runny noses 9 days out of 10. And
Yeah.
it could
Oh
be
yeah.
for anything.
Yeah,
Teeth,
I always
they're
felt bad at my
upset,
last job.
pollen.
I would w like wake up and see that he was full of like boogers, and I'd text him and be like, "So my kid woke up. He's not feeling the best. I'm gonna take him to daycare, but I might get cold," and then he'd be just fine. I'm like,
Right.
so now I just don't even say anything. After like the 5th time, I'm sure that they were like, "Oh, you're just trying to find reasons to not come to work." I'm like, "No, I do want to come. I want to give you a heads up instead of you being like, and you didn't tell us that your kid was sick. Like you couldn't give us a heads up on it, you know?"
Right.
But
All
thankfully, they've been good.
right, so give me your gory story. Is this going to make
So,
me like sick to my stomach? Is there any people eating people?
No, there's no cannibalism in this one.
Okay.
We might do this one as a two-parter. I guess we'll see how far we get today. How long have we been on this already? Let me see here.
A bit.
Yeah, we'll see how far we get, but I don't want to say it's gory, but the amount of research that I've done so far, I feel like I could still do so much more. So that's why I'm saying like I'd like to try and do it in two parts.
No.
I'm not sure why I didn't know about this, but I mean, we were kids when this happened, so I don't know. This
Yeah,
was
since you kind
the
of married a cradle robber, I mean.
Yeah, I guess I kind of did.
There's a slight generation gap there.
Just a little. My husband's 8 years
Maybe.
older than me.
Oh, yeah, for all of y'all that don't know.
Yeah, in case you were wondering. So this was the most deadliest attack on American soil before 9/11. Yeah, so I was trying to figure out how to properly word that. He was an American citizen, and it was the deadliest incident that happened in the US before 9/11. Yeah, I think I got that
So, like
correct.
the deadly civil incident. Okay.
It happened at a federal building that had a daycare inside of it.
Oh, now this is sounding a little familiar.
So I'm not going to go into huge detail on the daycare part just because I watched like a lot of videos, and I was telling Jesse about this last night. It's one thing when you see like a mother, a sister, an aunt, a grandma crying and emotional about losing their babies or your nieces or whatever, but it's a whole other level when old timers like get emotional about it. I don't know if that's just me, but like I've never really seen an older gentleman like get emotional, especially like on camera. So some of the videos that I was watching, there was a set of grandparents that lost two of their grandkids to this incident. And in the beginning, when she like first realized what happened, she was emotional and like freaked out. But then, like when it came to like prepping the bodies for the funeral and all that, and just hearing her like describe what the like funeral home director, that the person, mortician, the person that gets the bodies ready, was telling her you don't want to see them. And I mean, they were tiny, and so she just had all these questions, you know, and like she wanted closure and wanted to say goodbye. And so
You're gonna
she
make me
was,
cry.
well, I was bawling. Oh my God, I was bawling. So I stopped watching, and then I kind of like was trying to like fast forward because I just couldn't take it. And then they showed her husband, and he was like in tears. And I was just like, oh my God, like just pulled at your heartstrings like a whole other level. So then I was like, okay, I'm done for the night. Like, I can't do it anymore. So then that's when I decided that I think we're going to do a two parts because that was a little much for me. And I think I need to watch the rest of that video. I just am not prepared for that at the moment. But
I feel like I'm not
so,
prepared what you're going to tell me.
well, the rest, I mean, it's all still pretty bad, but it just, this is the first one where I like there's actual children that are involved in it, just completely innocent. I think most of the ones that I have done have been like just older women. I don't think there's
Yeah.
really been much involved with kids, so it's a little different. But so this incident is the Oklahoma City bombing.
Okay.
So that happened in April of 1995. The exact date kind of varied. Some articles said it was like the 19th, some said it was the 21st, and like the 27th. So I'm not really quite sure because literally, like, everywhere said something different. So I'm assuming like the incident happened probably on the 19th, and then someone was arrested the 21st, and like those other dates were just like really big breaks in the case type of thing. But I'll do some more digging into that. So today I just really wanted to talk about Timothy McVeigh. So he was born April 23rd of 1968, excuse me, in New York. He grew up in a just your average blue collar family. His parents divorced when he was 10, but I think he stayed living with his dad in New York. I don't want to say he was, no, he was not very smart. At least not until like his senior year of high school. He was just really interested in different things. He was just like a shy kid, not, he wasn't super outgoing. Like he was just really mellow. Like all the articles that I read were just like his classmates didn't, I don't want to say didn't think much of him because that sounds really harsh, but I don't know. He just didn't stick out. You know, like some people have that quality of like, oh, I remember she was good at running or he was good at this or like something always stands out.
He just kind of fell to the wayside.
Yeah. Which isn't always a bad thing. In his case, it was because it built up a lot of resentment because he never had any attention or anything. Later on, he had like, no, he had no love life. And I think it was just a lot of things that like factored in, but he was super young when he was first introduced to guns by his grandfather. I want to say he was like 11, maybe 12. And I don't know how old people are nowadays when they are introduced into guns.
I think I was around 10.
Were you?
Mm-hmm.
I think... I'm definitely not saying I'm opposed to guns by any means, but I think there's a difference between just being intrigued and being obsessed. Like he became very familiar with the Second Amendment really young. And then as he got older, he like obsessed over it, like to the point that at one point he was, he drove those bulletproof vehicles for like those fancy the hotels.
Armored vehicles.
Yeah, and I think for like banks at some point too, all kinds of different things. But at one point he showed up to work and he was like dressed like Pancho Villa, I read somewhere. So even, I don't remember what it was called, but it was like
what
that.
What the fuck?
Like it's kind of like a crossbody thing where you can either like hold your guns into it or it just like is filled with your ammo. And okay. So like his coworkers were like, he was just like really obsessed with like that type of position. Like he took it, like the details of it to a whole nother level. And this might sound fucked up, but like in my head I envision like Paul Blart the mall cop. Like, dude, you're a mall cop. But man, he was the mall cop, you know what I mean?
I just picture Paul Blart on his little whatever moped? Scoot no the two wheel, you go you lean forward.
Yeah.
But then I pictured him having the like crossbody with all the shells just going wee! Like he's gonna go get somebody really quick on his little
walkie-talkie.
Yeah. I'm coming, don't move.
10-4, 10-4.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean that sounds really fucked up, but that's like when I was reading these articles and how people described him and how serious he took his Second Amendment, like that's all that I envisioned in my head. I don't know why, but like, that's where it went.
That's a funny vision.
I had to try and find some like amusement in some of this. Maybe not amusement, some like
kind of comedy.
Yeah, because I don't know, his mindset was pretty fucked up. I mean, okay, so I'm gonna go back a little bit here. So he was American. He was one of three children. But he comes from Irish descent. Is that how you say that?
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks like his great-grandfather was the one that immigrated here from Ireland. So he was American. But it was really interesting later on as I was reading, he was actually very racist. And it kind of surprised me because people that come from countries and are
other biracial origins.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the time, those aren't the ones that are racist and out.
It's normally like the hillbilly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay. I'm not the only one.
No, and you know what? To bring up another movie reference, whenever I think of that, I think of Bad Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that movie when they go out there in the woods and the KKK? Yeah, everybody's like, don't move. And they're like pointing the guns at all each other. And then he shoots his partner in the ass. You shot me. You shot me in the ass. That's my favorite part of that whole movie. You shot me in the ass.
Just okay, so that little part of you shot me in the ass reminds me of 21 Jump Street. I don't remember which one, but he's like, "You shot my dick off. Pick it up,
Yes.
pick it up." And then he like crawls over because he's in handcuffs and he like picks it up with his mouth and everybody's like gagging.
Oh, the movies of our generation.
And they're so stupid. The fact that we find this shit amusing is
Right.
ridiculous. Oh my gosh. You shot my dick off. Pick it up. We pick it up. Pick it up and give it to me. I'm not picking up your dick. I can't either.
No,
What
no.
are
Love
you going
you,
to
but
sew it back on?
if somebody shot your tits off, I'm not gonna pick them up. Bring them back to you. They're just
I
gone. They're
mean,
just
at
gone.
least the boobs, you can just put fake ones on and be content. I mean, what do you do with a dick? Can you
Put
sew
it
a
on
fake dick
ice.
on? Oh my God. Okay, so I could go on like tangents from movie to movie to movie because now all I can think about is Friends when Monica chops, doesn't really chop, but like she drops a knife and cuts off Chandler's toe.
Oh yeah.
It's so fucked up. And then wasn't it a carrot that was in the ice, and so now he doesn't have a toe?
Yes. Because of jelly.
Oh my God. Oh, that's so funny. Okay. All right, guys. Sorry.
Back to
I
it.
love friends. I love friends. Okay. So, yeah. So I was really surprised that I was reading about him. Like, I guess I kind of read backwards on it because I read all about the Oklahoma, like the bombing itself. And then I looked up information about him. So I'm like, I totally thought it was going to be like some super like hillbilly racist guy, not someone that his family immigrated here. You know what I mean?
I want to see what this guy looks like. Third thing to pop up when I type in Oklahoma is Oklahoma City bombing.
I don't even know what it was that I typed in to try and figure this one out that got me to this one. Usually I have like keywords that I try and look up. I don't even know
Right.
what it was that got me to this because it has nothing to do with any Mexicans or anything, so I have no idea.
His hair.
Yeah. Just,
Why?
yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of questions that I have when it comes to him, but we'll leave that for the second half.
Anyway.
So he, when he was in school, early on, especially like around the time that his parents got divorced, because he was like 10, he said that he was the target of bullying. But considering no one had anything to say about him, like it wasn't like he was getting beat up all the time or anything like that. Like he wasn't coming home with bruises or anything like that I read anyways. So
He's
I'm
just
not quite
forgettable.
sure. I think he was just picked on, like, you know, like I think every class has that one kid that like everyone just teases them. Like it's just
Like
something
the
about them.
Dungeons and Dragons kids.
Yeah. I don't know
Yeah.
why. Like, and you feel for them, but they just have that one quality. I don't know.
I mean, when I went to high school, everybody in my class was honestly a little bit nerdy. But we knew how to also be sporty.
Yeah.
So those couple kids that didn't know how to be sporty
Were the
and
ones
were
that got
just
picked on?
straight up nerds were the ones that got picked on, like the
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons kids. I'm
Yeah,
like,
that sounds about
y
right.
dude, I would totally learn how to do that, but that's not going to be my only trait. Like I also run track and cross country and do all these
Yeah,
other
for
things.
sure.
That's not my only trait. That's why you get picked on, like, because you
You gotta
constantly talk about it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So he kind of, I think he just made it up in his head that because they were innocently picking on him, that he was getting bullied. So I think I kind of related to like nowadays, teachers just, or I don't want to say it's just teachers, but like, because all kids say, oh, I was getting bullied today. Like Ariana said that a few months ago. And I was like, okay, were you getting bullied? Because you don't just get bullied one day. Like that's not how that works. Like you get picked on, that's one thing. But like bullying happens like consistently, sometimes more than other times, and like it happens all the time, not just one day. And then she's like, But these people that are like my good friends, I'm like, okay, well, are you still going to talk to them tomorrow? She's like, well, yeah. I'm like, okay, so you weren't getting bullied. They were just picking on you.
That
Like,
was
there's a
just giving
very
you a
big
hard
difference.
time.
Yeah. And I was like, you do that to your friends, right? And she's like, well, yeah. I'm like, okay, so that's not bullying. Bullying is like when
So,
they're.
are you a bully?
Yeah. So I mean, I've asked her about that before because I tell her all the time, I got picked on. At one point, I was bullied really bad in school for like a different type of bullying from what you normally think about. So I tell Nana all the time, like, I will be damned that I was a single mom for so long and now I have the love of my life and we're good fucking parents. I'll be damned if I'm raising a fucking bully because I will beat
Right.
you down. And she's like, Mom, that's mean. I'm like, I don't care. Don't do that shit. Like, it's that
It's
easy.
the way that it is. I'm telling you,
Yeah.
don't be that person.
Like, if you're gonna be a bully, I'm gonna be your bully. Like, you pick and choose.
You
Like, which one's worse? But
can be
anywho.
nicer. I can bully you every day when you come home.
Pretty much. I mean, she'd probably laugh at that because, like, we don't spend that much time together during the week because of how busy our schedules are. But she'd probably be like, okay, whatever, Mom.
Believe what you want to.
Don't come at me, people. Like, I'm a good mom and my kid's a good kid. Like, I'm not worried about it and I'm not bullying her and I'm not beating her.
It's all
But
in
if I
good fun.
hear,
Chill out.
yeah, if I hear that she's doing some fucked up shit, she's gonna get it right back. That's all there is to it. And I know I'm not the only parent that parents like that. So do not come
Not
at
at
me.
all.
Timothy made up like this his own little world in his head about him being a bully and like or him being bullied and how he's going to, I guess, like seek revenge on them in a way.
Ooh.
So he continued that mindset as he was growing. So like once he got to high school, he was like super interested in computers apparently, and he like accidentally hacked into like the government computer system just
I'm
because.
sorry. Accidentally? How do you
Yeah, like he just
accidentally hack
wanted to
into
see if
the
he could do
government
it.
computer?
I know. He just wanted to see if he could do it. And then he did it. And like all of high school, like all of his
Then what
class
do you do?
mates.
Oh shit, I hacked into the government.
Well, it gets a little worse there. So his classmates all like thought he was like this badass guy because he was able to hack into like the government's computer systems. So his senior year, and I read this on multiple articles, that he was called the most promising programmer. And so like I don't think he had really thought that you could make this a profession. So I think after that he kind of started building up his ego on it.
Well, probably not back then. They probably didn't think that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. But earlier I said he wasn't that smart because he didn't really have good grades until like last minute in high school. But he went to a business college shortly after high school, and his obsession with guns and the Second Amendment continued to grow. And at this point, they like escalated like very intensely. So earlier when our lights were flat, like flickering because of the storm, my computer's still kind of flickering, so it takes forever to load when I click on another tab.
Oh no.
Very annoying. Yeah.
She's in the
So,
middle of a tornado, for those of you that don't know.
yeah, I think it's all past now. It sounds very calm, and I can hear the birds still chirping. It
Meh, they
was really weird.
survived, so that's good.
Yeah, for a while earlier, it got like, yeah, it was beautiful weather when I came home. It was like the perfect amount of hot, and like the sun was out. It was like perfect weather. And I sat outside and Jesse was staining some new shelves that he's putting up, like floating shelves. I was nursing Jordan and then I was playing volleyball. And then all of a sudden the wind picked up. And then all of a sudden everything just stopped.
You're like,
Like it
oh
was
shit.
just like dead silence. And then all of a sudden it just got like pitch black dark. I'm like, oh my God, everybody go inside. So I told Nana, like, put some chips in a bag and like grab a couple bottles of water, a couple diapers, and let's go hang out downstairs. And then Jesse told me that someone said that they think a tornado touched down in Kennesaw, which is like 20 minutes, not even 20 minutes from our house. So I was like, all right. So then I picked up Jordan. I just started pacing back and forth, like watching the weather on both sides of the house. So our front door faces east and then our back door faces west. And so being able to see how pitch black it was on one side coming to the other side and then the sun wanting to come out on the other was extremely creepy. It was so creepy. I was not a fan.
Yeah.
But then, like, it hailed for a little bit and then it was just fine. Our lights were flickering for, like, I don't know, good half hour maybe, but I think we're think we're in the clear now, so we'll see. But
that's good.
Anywho, sorry for the sidebar here, guys. Shortly after he started attending this business college, he read a book called The Turner Diaries.
I apologize for y'all watching this Zoom because I look super high right now and I'm not. I'm just very tired.
And if you are, that's A-okay.
I'm not, but I'm just so tired. Like, I'm squinting at the screen because it's so bright. My eyes are watering. But I just noticed, I was like, wow, I look super high, even though I'm not.
But, I mean, you do look really high, but it's fine. Anti-government related. And so it was like a neo-Nazi, and it had to do with this truck bombing, which is where, so his obsession with guns and ammunition and his obsession with the Second Amendment and his, I don't know, his mindset of he was bullied, but he really wasn't, essentially. And then now reading this Turner Diaries, like, really just made his little imaginary world kind of start to spiral. This is where he got the idea to do this type of a bombing in Washington, D.C., at one of the FBI buildings.
Okay.
He enlisted shortly after that. It was like 1988, so I'm not going to do that math there. But so his paranoia at this point was through the roof between all of his obsessions and then how his high school was. And then throughout all of this, he never really had a love life. So he doesn't know how to approach women. He's very intimidated by them. He isn't antisocial, but he's definitely not the social butterfly that, you know, most people are around their group of comfortable people, because he didn't have that group. Like, it was just him against the world. And his he didn't have
comfortable
anyone.
People.
Well, I have people that I'm comfortable with, but people. I have people that I'm comfortable with, but I'm not like friends with them. Like, I know them.
Like, acquaintances?
Like, know them through friends. Yeah, comfortable people. I don't.
I've never heard them called comfortable people.
Well, this is also me that doesn't always have good.
I don't know how to speak that good English no more.
Yeah, that's how I feel right now. Every time I'm like, you know, I'm going to do really good tonight. And then I start talking. I'm like, this is just awful word vomit. Like, none of it makes sense. Like, why do people listen to our podcast? Like, they just listen and make fun of me.
English isn't my first language.
I fucking love Christine. Oh my gosh. Oh, geez.
Okay. Anyway.
Guys, I apologize. My English is never like.
It's funny good. Though.
I was telling my coworker earlier today, we went to go get food for our training today. And on the way back, she was saying that our training today was more or less for all of like our laborers, like the guys that are actually like working on the concrete and like the buildings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we broke up the trainings into Spanish speaking and English speaking. So I made a joke yesterday in a meeting about segregation because it was all basically the Latin people and then the Caucasians. And so she was laughing about it. And I was like, I know I'm HR. Like, I was just kidding. Like, I know that's not really what you're trying to do, but I just really wanted to joke about it.
Yeah.
So then today she was like, you know, there was one guy that went over to the English group and I was really surprised because he, like, I'm pretty sure Spanish is his first language. And so she starts talking about how his English is kind of like yours. And I was like,
thanks.
Like, choppy. And she's like, what? No, your English is very good. I'm like, what? I was like, give it time. Give it time, girl. She's like, laughing.
You have not seen the real me yet.
I'm like, it's only been a month. Just give it some time. You'll catch on.
Wait till you see me after a few drinks.
Yeah, for a split second, I was like, damn, no, I can't even. Like, it's really not that good. But I was just, like, really proud that she was like, no, your English is not choppy. I'm like, are you really? Because the split second, I was just, like, real proud of myself.
And then I threw it all away. Your English is not choppy, but we're getting enough friends that I could make fun of you for little stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, 20 minutes into recording tonight, and I have butchered like every other word, so it's fine. Yeah. Anywho, so early on, Timothy joined a survivalist group. So I am not 100% sure how to pronounce this word. I want to say it's Davidian.
What are you even saying?
Branch Davidian. It's Davidian. Davidian?
I don't, what does it mean?
Davidian? So these are members of a Seventh-day Adventist church.
Adventist church, yeah. Those weirdos.
English is hard. So
no, that's just stupid. Joined...
I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that way, but it's good, good, good. So very early on, he joined this group and like befriended a bunch of the members. On top of that, with his paranoia, his like very intense obsessions, his anger from after reading the first edition, I think, of the Turner Diaries, he obviously started to have some very ill feelings against foreign communists and just really anything foreign, which was so surprising because his
so heritage. Himself.
Yeah, right? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So he apparently started questioning the U.S. government, especially after reading this book. Like, this book really just was like the peak of what he was going to follow through.
He had thoughts and then this just pushed him over the edge.
Yeah. Pretty much, which is really sad because I think he could have done some really good things because he, okay, let me go back a little bit here. So he was annoyed with just about anything you could think of because, I mean, after some time, he was angry about taxes. He was angry about just Black folks in general. He was angry about them being in the service. He was angry about the news outlets. He was angry about what the news outlets covered, like the amount of detail or the lack of detail. Like he just found anything in the U.S., especially if it dealt with, like, politics, anything. I mean, he was angry with Bill Clinton. Like, he was just not happening. Like, he was angry with everything. And obviously, he was racist as fuck. Like, there's just no other way to put it. He was just racist as fuck. He enlisted in the military in 1988. And, sorry, so he joined when he was 20. And apparently, he did really good when he was in the military. Like, he read anything and everything he could about firearms. Like, he was super intrigued by anything that had to do with the Second Amendment, especially because that gave him like an extra level of being able to execute his Second Amendment when he was in the military. I mean, he was literally surrounded by like all explosives and ammo, yeah, and anything you could think of, and he definitely took it to his advantage. He
just say it.
I'm trying to think of how to say it because I don't want this to come across as I'm okay with 100% like torture and things like that. I understand when you're going to war, like you are there to fight for a good cause most of the time. Maybe not for every country, but for us, I want to say here in the US, like we want people to have freedom. And he wasn't, I don't think he thought like that. Like, he just really wanted to blow shit up and blow people up. Like, he was interviewed like right before his execution, and he was telling them about the first time that he was deployed. He literally like decapitated someone with a cannon, and like he was happy about it. Like, he celebrated it.
So he was very sadistic.
Yeah, but I mean, he never really, like, it wasn't like he went out and, like, captured people and then, like, tormented them or anything like that. Like he just had the opportunity to do it, so he did this on his first day. Like, that was his first thing as...
So like, he was a crime of opportunity kind of person.
Yeah.
If he could blow somebody's head off, he was going to.
Yeah, and I think that troops, when they have like a successful day out in the field, when they are deployed, like they come back and they're like, all right, like we helped people, like we were here and like it was beneficial today. It was a successful day. Not, did you see me blow that motherfucker up? Like, I don't, maybe it's just me. Maybe people do talk like that, but.
I was going to say, like, how many military people of our generation have you talked to?
I have a lot of friends in the National Guard and they have a lot of stories.
So the people that I've talked to are very, there's two different people. There's the people that you're talking about that are like, I blew that motherfucker up. Or there are people that are very respectful and straight laced and there is no in between. And it's normally the people that you're talking about that end up doing stupid shit like this.
That's what I get concerned about. What was that?
It's the dog.
I feel like every time we have recorded, at least halfway through, Eclipse starts to do that. And it freaks me out every time.
Because he wants to go to bed. This old man just, he will do that until I take him to bed and go with him.
But you, yeah, I was going to say, you have to go with him though, don't you?
Yes.
Like the few times I've been down to see you, anytime you go to bed, Eclipse goes to bed with you. Otherwise, Eclipse is out like hacking up his whole life.
Yes. And there's literally nothing wrong with him. It's just him being an annoying little old man. And it's like, Mom, take me to bed. Fucker, just well, go old. To bed. God. He's like freaking, how old is he? 12? I think he's going to be 12 this year.
And he weighs what, like 8 pounds? If that.
No, he's a little fatty now. He's like 14. Is he? Yeah.
Damn.
We were over at Gigi and Opa's house last weekend, and every time I turned around, she was giving him a treat or ice cream. I'm like, he's old. Oh. He's going to die. Stop.
His arteries are probably clogging up if she's giving him anything fatty.
No, she doesn't give him fatty stuff. She gives him like the refrigerated chicken treats and like the doggy peanut butter ice cream. Like, this dog eats better than I do.
I cannot judge there because my in-laws do that to their dogs. So I can judge a little bit because I think it's ridiculous. But
it is ridiculous.
Like, they take, I don't want to say they, because I think my mother-in-law enjoys it to a certain extent. Whereas my father-in-law, like, chops up, like, everyone's leftovers. So, like, if Nana doesn't eat one of her hot dogs, and, like, I remember the very first time I, like, about cried because the very first time I eat dinner over at their house, like, Nana and I went to go, like, load the dishwasher. Like, they cooked and grilled. So Nana and I were like, well, we'll clean the table and, like, wash the dishes. So we went to go start putting the plates away and stuff. And John's like, oh, where did the plates go? How? What are the dogs going to eat for their post-dinner snack? I'm like, what? So, like, Mexicans don't do this. So I was, like, all sorts of confused. And I, as I have come to learn, not all people do that. It's not just Mexicans that don't do that. But, and I love my in-laws, so I'm definitely not saying anything, like, mean by any means. Negative, I'm not trying to. Yeah. But, like, my father-in-law will, like, cut up whatever food we have left and, like, evenly divide it in between all the dogs. And then he'll, like, set them down, like, in different areas. And then they always get, like, a pre-dinner snack. And they have, like, their own individual bags in the pantry. And they have a certain container in the fridge. And then they obviously always get everybody's leftovers. And obviously, you know, at the dinner table, they can sit and beg, which drives me bonkers. Like, when we had Casello and Thor, they were not allowed to sit by us when we were eating. Because, like, no, dogs should not sit there and beg. That's just me, though. So when we go over to their house and eat, I'm like, don't stare at me. I can't eat comfortably with you staring at me wanting my food because I want my food, too, and I'm not sharing.
How do I become a dog in John and Jody's house in my next life?
Dude, John, and John buys, like, the nice, like, expensive dog treats, too. And so when they first got Thor, when we, I don't remember if I had already had Jordan. I think I was still pregnant. I don't know, but so I told Jesse, Thor's going to get real fat because, like, at our house, they maybe got a snack a day, maybe. But then, you know, he ate in the morning or at lunch and then at dinner. So it wasn't like he ate, like, 3 or 4 meals and snacks throughout the day. So I was like, he's going to get real fat over there. And then when we first went over there for, like, a couple months after they had him, I was like, damn, Thor, you're looking good. Like, you have not gained a crap ton of weight. And I definitely thought you were going to. Like, I'm really proud of you guys right now. They were, you know, it was a nice house. They were taking him on walks, like, all the time. And then winter came around. I'm like, Thor, you're gaining your winter weight. What's going on?
Come on, fatty.
All right, guys. Let me bring it back in. See if I remember where I'm at. So even though he celebrated that, like, he did a lot of really good things as well. He received quite a few awards. And I don't know much about military life. So I don't know, like, rankings, I know like everyone at some point will get some type of little medal and they just have like a fun title to it, but it's not huge type of thing. Like if you get the Purple Heart, like that's a big fucking deal. What he earned, like medal-wise. He earned the Bronze Star Medal. He earned some type of National Defense Medal, a Southwest Asia Medal, like an Army Service Ribbon. And then he even made it, I don't want to say made it, I'm not quite sure what the correct terminology is there, but he was able to continue on to the Special Forces. So he joined in 1988, but he willfully and honor like was honorably discharged in 1991. So
It's only 7 years.
he, huh?
7 years. 91 to 98.
No, 1988 to 1991, 4 years. At one point, he was even stationed in Kansas, like for a very short, brief period of time, and then he was sent to Operation Desert Storm.
Okay,
Which
yeah, I know what that is.
that sounds very familiar to me. I started to kind of do some research, and then I didn't know how deep into all of it I wanted to get.
I hear Desert Storm with a lot of older guys in the military.
Same here. I think one of my favorite like genre of movies is military movies.
Really?
I don't. You'd think I would know a lot more about military rankings and stuff, considering how many friends I have in the National Guard, and my husband was in the Coast Guard, and he has lots of family that has been enlisted, and he, I think a couple of his uncles are still enlisted, but they're on the reserve. I'm not quite freaking sure. You'd think I would know all of this shit by now, and I don't, like at all. So he was honorably discharged in late of 1991 after only 2 days in the Special Forces. So apparently after you make it to Special Forces, you have to do like a 21-day, like not a trial run, but kind of like a boot camp type of thing. So you
Like
kind of start over.
probation.
Yeah. I don't know why he left after 2 days. Some articles said that it was because he showed up to a KKK rally and was wearing a white power shirt. And obviously, there was a lot of non-Caucasian people at this KKK rally wearing black pride or black power type of shirts. And when you're in the service, you can't do that.
Right.
But he did. And it kind of just spiraled from there. He reunited with some of his friends from right before he enlisted that were also part of that branch. Davidian, or however you say that. And they took their Second Amendment also to a whole nother level. But I think I'm gonna leave the rest for next time, because this is the part where I would really like to go into more depth with how it was and why it was that they wanted to go through with this Oklahoma City bombing. I just really wanted to pay a lot of attention to his life, and then maybe that would make sense as to, I don't want to say make sense. Maybe that would give us some good insight as to how the rest played out. So, that being said, we will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Hey guys, be sure to look us up on social media. On Facebook, we are Crime 2 Podcast. And on Instagram, Crime Squared. Also, please subscribe and review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate all of our listeners.